1 Corinthians. And we are calling this our body life series because Paul addresses what the body of Christ should and shouldn't look like and what we as members of that body should and should not look like. Last time we were together, we learned that you and I are wealthy. Do you remember that? You and I are wealthy. Now you may look at me and say, well, if you look at my bank account, I can't say that. But that's not the riches we were referring to. We said that God has enriched us. He has deposited into our account everything that we need. And the interesting thing is, when we make a withdrawal, He makes another deposit. So you can't ever exhaust that account. You withdraw, He deposits. You withdraw, He deposits. He has enriched us. And this was the verses. I give thanks to my God always for you, and the gracious gifts He has given you, now that you belong to Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, God has made you rich in every way. You now have every spiritual gift you need. So that was just a quick reminder, because I know from week to week, especially in the summer, some are traveling and are out of town, and so I didn't want you to miss the fact that He has enriched you with every spiritual gift that you need. We're going to start our body life adventure today in chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God will do this because He is faithful. God will do this because He is faithful to do what He says He will do. And He has welcomed you into fellowship with Jesus, His Son. So God is faithful. Can you remember a time? So I actually want you to do this, okay? Can you remember a time when God was faithful to you? Maybe you needed to know that He was with you. Maybe you needed Him to do something that only He could do. Maybe you couldn't see a way through the situation or over the situation, but He made a way where there seemed to be no way. So I want you to actually pause a minute. I know sometimes my sermons are a little different. They're not the three-point sermons. But I want you to encounter God every Sunday morning. I don't want you to go home and say, boy, Pastor Steve had three great points. Whoopee. I want you to go home and say, through Pastor Steve's message, I was able to reconnect with God or to connect with God in a deeper way. Okay. So while Pastor Kurt's making his way up, because he shared one with me this week, I'm actually going to give you a couple minutes to share, just a few of you, because I do have the rest of the sermon to finish, a time when God was faithful to you. So think about that a minute. When was God faithful? When did I need peace and He gave me peace? When did I need to know He was with me and I was able to tell that He was with me? Just think about it a minute. I'll shut up. Okay, Pastor Kurt, you start us, and if you have one, he's just going to set the mic down there, and we'll let two, three, maybe four, depending how long they are, come up and share a time that God was faithful to them.
Well, recently, Trish and I were looking to do something that was going to cost quite a bit of money. And it's something that we had done in the past. And so we're looking at our finances, looking at the budget. And we had had this debt that had been hanging out there for a while. And we just couldn't see how we could move forward with the thing that we wanted to do and be good stewards of our finances with this debt hanging out there. So we began to pray and began to seek the Lord on this. And we just came to the conclusion that unless the Lord did something really miraculous, we were going to have to forego the thing that we wanted to do and focus on paying this debt down. And so we spoke to Pastor Steve about it. I spoke to Pastor Bob Muncy about it and some other folks. They were all in prayer with us about it. And it just looked like we needed to make that decision to say no to this so we could focus on the debt. So we took steps in that direction, and the Lord just opened up a way that we hadn't really considered for 75% of the need to do the thing that we wanted to do to be provided for us by somebody outside of the church, actually, outside of this church. And so as a result of that, we were now able to do the thing that we wanted to do all along, because the Lord miraculously, we're talking a pretty large chunk of change here, the Lord miraculously provided the bulk of the finances that we needed. So, yay God.
Yay.
Well, we've been trying for a very long time to get pregnant, and I am 12 weeks pregnant. So the Lord is faithful. Tuesday will be 2 weeks ago, and I think a day later I had asked the Lord to give me a vision of that she was safe, that she was up in heaven with him. And I took a nap, and what he gave me, he is just so faithful, and I saw her like on the left side of heaven. It was so clear, so beautiful. She was in this, she couldn't walk towards the end of her life. She was stuck in this wheelchair, screaming at the nurses when they tried to do anything for her. But she was rocking in this rocking chair in heaven, holding this little boy, this toddler. And I knew instantly who he was. It was little Hayden. And for those of you who don't know who Hayden is, Stan and I had four miscarriages from the year of 2010 to 2013. And it was either going to be a girl Hayden or a boy Hayden. And in this vision, it was our little boy Hayden. She was rocking him. And then later on, she was walking on the right side of heaven in my vision. But Hayden was there with her. And Hayden never made it down to earth because he was waiting for Nana to get up there. So I know that she's not alone. And Hayden is with her, and she's with Hayden. And just like you just said, that he is so faithful and he is so peaceful. And I'm okay with that. So I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Pretty exciting things, huh? I'm sure if I nudge some more of you that we would hear some other things, but I'll pass nudging. All right. So the church in Corinth, like every other church, had some issues. Now, I know that might surprise you, you know, and maybe you think, well, we don't have any issues. Okay, then. But every church has some things that if Paul wrote every church, the Holy Spirit would give him something to address. Okay? So we know this as the Bible and that God inspired it, but back then all they knew was that the apostle that was watching over their church was writing them a letter. So they get this letter from Paul, and he addresses this issue. So let's look at that. Verses 10 to 13. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, remember, exhort means you encourage someone to move in a particular direction, even if it means you have to help push them along. So I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no divisions among you, and that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's family, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this. One of you is saying, I'm of Paul. Another, I'm of Apollos. Another, I'm of Cephas, which was Peter. And I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So it had come to Paul's attention that there were some things going on, and he wanted to address it because he knew if he didn't address it, it would cause disunity within the church. So I want to try to make this really relevant to us today. And I want to do it. I asked Marty if I could use her. So she said yes, not knowing what I was going to do. So I have very trustworthy leaders. I pick on Kurt. I don't even tell him ahead of time. So let's do it this way, okay? We know that we relate to Pastor Bob, not only because he was our Elam Fellowship Regional Director, and we're an Elam Fellowship affiliated church, but also because he's an apostle and we've allowed him to apostle us. That's even a word. So let's say Marty calls Pastor Bob. And when she calls him, she says, Pastor Bob, I have some things I'm concerned about that I've heard. Now, first of all, this didn't really happen, okay? And second of all, Marty is reporting stuff she heard, not stuff she said. Okay, so I just want to make sure everybody knows that this isn't anything that actually happened. But I want you to understand the issue that Paul's addressing, and then we'll talk about what to do about it, okay? So just bear with me. So she says, well, and this is Bob Muncy down in Delaware. And so she calls him and she says, Pastor Bob, I heard some things out in the hallway on Sunday mornings and one of the times that we gathered as a group socially, and I'm concerned about these things that I heard. He goes, oh, okay. Well, what were they? And she says, well, the first thing I heard, someone said, boy, I think Pastor Steve is really doing a good job leading our church, and he did a wedding for someone in my family, and he's baptized our kids, and so I don't know why they have to have two other pastors. Okay. Then she said, and then somebody else said, well, you know, Pastor Kurt is much more personable than Pastor Steve. You know, when Pastor Steve talks to me in the hall before church, he gives me a minute or two. Pastor Kurt would spend the whole morning out there with me. So I'm rooting for Pastor Kurt. And then she says, and then I heard a third thing. And he's not here to pick on, so maybe we can all tell him afterwards. So, you know, that Pastor Steve, he's almost 60 now. And Pastor Kurt, he won't mention how old he is now. I really like when Pastor Adam preaches because he uses technology. He shows us YouTube videos. I think Pastor Steve should let Pastor Adam speak more often because he addresses the younger generation. Okay. So now I can knowing Pastor Bob as well as I do, I can imagine him saying something similar to what Paul said. Okay, Marty, this is what I want to tell you people that made those comments. Pastor Adam did not die on the cross for anybody. Pastor Kurt did not leave heaven and come down to earth to make our relationship with God possible. And even though I really support Pastor Steve, he's not Jesus either. So tell them to stop talking that way. Because, first of all, Pastor Kurt, Pastor Steve, and Pastor Adam are all on the same team, all have the same goals, and they would not, none of the three of them would be happy to hear those comments. Okay, does that make it relevant? That's what Paul said. So what does that mean to us? Well, remember we had said each week we want to try to answer at least one of three questions. Who am I and who am I not? What do I need to start doing that I'm not presently doing? Or what do I need to stop doing that I am presently doing? And then the third question is, how does this truth that I'm learning cause me to grow and develop? Body life, growing and developing as members of the body of Christ. Okay, so I want to answer some of those. Understanding what Paul just said and making it relevant by imagining Marty and Pastor Bob being involved in this conversation, then what do we need to start doing if we're not already doing it? We need to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? Jesus. The other thing we need to make sure that we are doing is that keeping unity and working together is one of our main goals. If that's one of our main goals, you can overlook some of those other things. Okay? You can overlook that Pastor Steve's almost 60, and he won't spend the whole morning out in the hallway with you. If you call him and come to his office during the week, you can have the whole day. What do we need to stop doing? Focusing on minor things. Remember what God told us at the beginning of the year? What he reminded us about? He said, if you allow the moles of grumbling and complaining to nibble on your roots, it will affect your growth and your fruitfulness. Just a reminder, because we want to grow and we want to be fruitful. So, having said all that, and having mentioned Pastor Bob, by the way, remember he was supposed to be with us back in the spring, and he had surgery the week before, so he sent the team from his church, but he couldn't come. So I called him and I said, but I really missed you, and I think the people missed you. So he's coming in November. But I got a call or a text? I don't know. Nowadays, you talk to people. Text, calls, Facebook. So in one of these ways, I got a message from Pastor Bob. And because it includes the church in the message, I want to share it with you. And you'll see that it goes right along with what we just talked about being fruitful and growing. I was praying for you and Stacy this morning. Yay, Pastor Bob. I don't have her cell number, so please pass this along. It's with joy and expectation that I see both of you. The scripture that comes to mind is Song of Solomon 2:10. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. And then he shares a couple more verses from Song of Solomon. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. The voice of the dove is heard in the land. The fig tree ripens its figs. The vines are in blossom. they give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Okay, so that's Song of Solomon chapter 2. This is the word that he heard for Stacy and I and the church. Winter is past. You are now fully in a season of reaping. I pray your eyes would be filled with the splendor of his love and presence. Christian Life Community Church, CLCC, will be known as Contagious Love Calling Children to the Father's Lap. CLCC, Contagious Love Calling Children to the Father's Lap. You are doing well and have walked through the winter season without relenting or taking a safer course. The reward of your labors are now being manifest. Love you both much. Yay. So be encouraged by that, because that was speaking to us as a church, that we had gone through some rough seasons. A winter season. But now the rains have come and gone, and we're getting ready to be fruitful, to grow and to blossom. And so I receive that, and I hope you do as well. Okay, next point. We were reminded last time that wherever we go, we represent Jesus. That word means represent. So maybe for that person that you're talking about Jesus to, you are the only representation of Jesus they've ever had. Maybe they went to church as a youngster, maybe to VBS here. And so you're re-representing Jesus to them. And just like I challenged you at the beginning of the service, I want to remind you that your encounter with other people will either stir up a desire within them to draw closer to God, or it'll have the opposite effect. And Paul talks about that right here in verses 17 and 18, 23 and 24. For Christ did not send me out to baptize, but to preach the good news, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 23. But we preach Jesus and him crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block. To Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. When we share Jesus with somebody, one of two things will happen. Either they will be interested and say, tell me more about God. How do I get reconciled to God? How do I have my sins forgiven? How do I get my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or they will be completely disinterested, confused, maybe not even want you to continue to talk with them. But if you don't extend that knowledge to them, you're not even giving them that choice. So it's like you have bread and you have life to share with other people. But you have to actually offer it to them. You're carrying it with you because you have Christ within you. He is the bread of life, right? Yes? And so you have that to offer to others who don't know Jesus yet. So pull life out of that bank account. Remember, Jesus has enriched you. So pull life out and offer it to other people. When you share with them and when you take the opportunity to pray with them. We thought about God being faithful. Remember, we paused and thought about that earlier. Tell other people how God was faithful to you. That's all you have to do. I was believing God, or I was struggling, and I asked God to help, and this is what he did. That's how you start your testimony. That's how you start sharing the good news. And then you'll find out if they're interested or not, or if to them it's a stumbling block, or if to them it's foolishness. But maybe to them, they'll recognize it as the power and wisdom of God, and they'll want to know more. I want to challenge us afresh to go beyond what is our comfort zone. For you to take time to share what Jesus means to you with other people, you have to go above and beyond what's comfortable to you. At least most of us do. Now, Marlon, no. But most of us, we have to go above and beyond our comfort zone to do that. So I want to encourage you today to do that, because God will meet you there and help you to do that. The Holy Spirit that we sing about over and over in worship will empower you and allow you to do that. Okay, one final point today, and then I want to give you a minute to respond to what I feel will be some tugging on your heart. Okay, so last point, verses 27 to 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 31. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the lower things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. What that is saying, let me make it easy for you. It doesn't matter in what way you think you are weak, God can still use you. So not only does he know all your strengths and is still proud of you and encouraging you, but he knows all your weaknesses, and he's saying, in those weaknesses, I can be strong and still use you. So this is what I felt he wanted us to do here as we close. I want to open up the altar for you to come up and say again and anew, here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, send me out into the community to tell others what Jesus means to me. Here I am, God, I offer myself to you again. Don't you think that's good to do every now and then? Well, I do. Can I ask the question one more time? Does anyone else think that's a good thing to do every now and then? All right. Phew, I thought I was talking to the wrong group of people there for a minute. All right. So, as Pastor Kurt puts this song on, and we're just going to turn it down, I want you to come up front and meet with God. Not meet with me, not meet with the other leaders, meet with God. And just say to him when you come up front, God, I surrender to you again today. I'm giving you my strengths. I'm giving you my weaknesses. I'm going to give you my hands, my feet, my mouth. Use me to share God's love with other people and see what he does. I also believe if you came with a need today, when you're in his presence telling him that, you can say, and God, I have this need. But don't make that the main emphasis that you came up. But if you as a parent, if your kids came up to you and was talking to you and you found out they had a need, wouldn't you choose to meet that need? Okay, I need to stop talking. I'm going to go sit down, let you meet with God.
Still before creation, eternity in your hand, and you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You still before my feet. Carry the cross for my shame, my sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say?
Okay, let's stand. Pastor Kirk, keep it playing. So Jesus, how else can we respond knowing that you gave all, that you left heaven, laid down your divine attributes, walked on earth as a man, suffered, nailed to the cross, died on our behalf. How else can we respond but to say, here I am, use me, I surrender to your plan for my life. Use me to tell others, Father, about your great love for me, about how you made a way for them to have a relationship with you when they could not earn the way, find the way, be good enough, but you made a way through Jesus for us to be forgiven and for us to come into relationship with the Father, for us to have a home prepared for us, for our names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, for us to be washed and cleansed and forgiven, for us to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, for us to become your sons and your daughters, for us to be joint heirs with Christ. Jesus, you did so much for us. How else can we respond but to say, I want to follow you the rest of my life. I want to go where you're going, do what you're doing. I want to bring your life to others. So that's what we say today. We want to represent you well, Jesus, to each one that we encounter, each person that we meet. Thank you for encouraging us and strengthening us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for breaking off chains and for bringing new life. Amen. Just real quickly, don't show up here next Sunday because we will be over at the West Pennsboro Park at 10:30 for our picnic. And so bring some friends and some family and some food, and we'll start the church service over there at 10:30. You're dismissed.